24. I'll read a few verses prior to it. John chapter 10, starting at verse 25. Jesus answered them after they had asked him to tell us plainly if you are the Christ. In verse 25, Jesus answered them. He said, I did tell you, but you do not believe. The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me, but you do not believe. Now here's the key part. You do not believe because you are not my sheep. You do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. Well, last week, Jesus gave a clear reason as to why people do not believe in him. And his answer was so simple, yet so profound, and it troubles many people, but Jesus said it. He said, you do not believe in me because you are not my sheep. In other words, if you were my sheep, you would believe in me. But you are not. You do not believe because you are not my sheep. And I made the case last week through the scripture that to be a sheep, in other words, to belong to Jesus Christ, you must be born again. And that's not something that you can do for yourself. That's a work of God. We are completely dependent upon God for everything and in every way. A person who is not born again is not belonging to Jesus Christ. And I like to use the word belonging is not belonging, because it's not like you belong one minute and then you don't, but you're not belonging to Jesus Christ. And you're not his sheep. And therefore, because you're not a sheep, you don't believe. And that's hard, but it's good for people to know. If they wonder, why don't I believe these things? Well, oftentimes, when it comes down, why don't I believe in Jesus? It's because you're not his sheep. And if you can tell people that straightforward, it's helpful in evangelism. Because now you get to the root of the problem. You're not his sheep. And hopefully you'd have someone that's curious that says, then what do I have to do to be a sheep of God? And you'd say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. The mystery of new birth is, in fact, that. It is a mystery. But the bottom line, if you are born again, you are one of his sheep, and you do, therefore, believe in Jesus Christ. So I think it's worth saying it again. I like to repeat, it's important. The reason a person does not believe in Jesus is because that person is not one of his sheep. And that ought to really help us to see the necessity of evangelism, why we want to call people to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's what Jesus did, and it's what the apostles did, and it's what we also must do, and trust the Holy Spirit to do his work in the heart of a person. The Bible tells us faith comes by hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. So there's this spiritual miracle that takes place at new birth where a person hears the voice of another person. Your ears hear the voice of a man, but new birth is where your heart hears the voice of God. You're given a new heart at that time. So verse 27 is where we want to focus on today. We're in part 3 of servant and sovereign, looking at Jesus as both servant and sovereign. So verse 27, I think, is showing us just how personal is this relationship with Jesus Christ, our good shepherd. And if you're one of his sheep, you've learned just how personal your relationship is with Jesus. Jesus, as the good shepherd, knows us intimately. He knows you inside and out. He knew you before you were born. He loves you. It's how personal this is. He guides you. He upholds you personally. He counsels you. He sustains you. He cares for you. He cares enough for you to discipline. In other words, as the psalm says in Psalm 121, the Lord watches over you. He is the good shepherd, and you have to be encouraged by that. I think you need to encourage yourself with those words from the scripture, knowing the Lord watches over you. And what all that means, and the ramifications are great, because it means that he loves you intensely and your relationship with him is deeply personal. Now let's look at verse 27 and just see how great is this verse and what do we learn from it. Verse 27, Jesus says, and we can almost skip over these words so quick, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me." And most of us have read these verses like I had over and over and over, and it's easy to just say that's wonderful, and it is, and there you've been ministered to adequately if that's what you say. But let's look at the words. Jesus says, "My sheep." It stood out to me for the first time ever, and we've already seen him say this in previous verses of John chapter 10, "My sheep." But I heard him say it in a different way as he's telling these people who don't believe in him. He's saying, "My sheep." So there, it's just, he's not saying the sheep. He's saying my sheep. It's like ownership. He owns his sheep. He knows his sheep. He cares for his sheep. He looks after his sheep. He owns them. And here's how he owns them. Why he owns them. He owns his sheep. He can say my sheep because, get this now, the Father claimed them before the foundation of the world. He knows his sheep from before the foundation of the world, and he knows them. He says, "I know my sheep because my Father claimed them before the foundation of the world." You have Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. And remember, you have to look at chapter 1, verse 4 in light of verse 3, which spoke of the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then verse 4, he goes on, he says, "For he..." The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from verse 3, "chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight." He chose us before in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. Listen to John chapter 6, verses 37 and 39. "All the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never drive away." But see, he receives them as gifts from the Father. All, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're one of his sheep. And you have to know Jesus treasures his sheep because each one is a gift from the Father. Verse 37, John chapter 6, 39, he speaks of, "And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all he has given me, but raise them up at the last day." Jesus received his sheep. He knew his sheep. He loves his sheep. He cares for his sheep. But it began with God claiming them before the foundation of the world. In John 17, verse 6, when Jesus is praying that great high priestly prayer, just before he's arrested, in John 17, listen to verse 6. He's praying to the Father. He's saying, "Father, I have revealed to those whom you gave me out of the world. I have revealed you to those you have gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word." This obedience that he's talking about, obeying his word, is believing who Jesus is, who he claimed to be. But the main thing, they were yours. You claimed them, but you gave them to me. And this is essential for us to understand for our joy, I think, as Christians and for our confidence. We are his sheep because God claimed. If you are his sheep, it's because God claimed you before the foundation of the world. How did Christ then acquire these sheep? His sheep, not the sheep, his sheep. How did he acquire them? But through the redemption that came by his blood. He acquired his sheep. He acquired each one who has believed in the past, present, and future through his blood. Ephesians 1:7 says, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. And I would encourage you to read Ephesians chapter 1 and chapter 2 and just see how great of a salvation that we have in this redemption purchased through his blood. And we belong to him because he acquired us through the shedding of his blood. Father gave, claimed us, Christ purchased us, redeemed us from the prison of sin and death. We were held captive. We were slaves. We were active slaves to sin. Even though we had been claimed by the Father before the foundation of the world, Christ came in time and purchased the people that God had set apart. I love that. That gives me great comfort. I hope it does you too. His relationship with his sheep, and make it personal, his relationship with you is so intensely personal, he says, my sheep. Not the sheep. I think that it's worth taking a moment and thinking about this for a second, because so often, what if, well, a man ought to introduce his wife as my wife, not the wife. Right? Well, it's the wife. You ought to talk about your children as my children, not the children, which we all do that. But I mean, especially it's sacred ground when you start talking about your wife. And if you say the wife, it almost sounds, I don't know, it sounds impersonal to me. You go to your house, I'm going to go to my house, you might say. You can also get away with saying the house, but when you say it's my house, you're saying something that makes it more personal, to be sure. But it's intensely personal when we hear Jesus say, my sheep, I own them, I've bought them, the Father claimed them, I bought them. And even this my sheep speaks about a kingly authority. Because David looked, for instance, Jesus being the son of David, we see David, as he ruled over Israel, he saw them as his people, God's people, who he had responsibility to govern and to lead. He had authority, but that authority was granted by God. Here, Jesus has authority, and he rules with sovereignty in the lives of his sheep. He rules in sovereignty everywhere, but you get the idea. My sheep, it's personal, and I do guard them. I do care for them with authority. And it ought to be comforting, especially right now we have this coronavirus. And we have restrictions. We have mandates of things we can and can't do and so forth. But it ought to be comforting for us to know that we're not under the care of the government. Primarily, we're under the care of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, my sheep, and Jesus is Lord, not Washington, D.C., not the World Health Organization. Jesus Christ is Lord, and we are the sheep of his pasture. And Jesus is Lord. I read a statement, I remembered a statement. I heard Joe Bartimus first use it years ago when he was preaching on the sovereignty of God up at College Park. But Abraham Kuyper had these most comforting words for those who believe. And I think it's also these words serve comfort believers, warn those who are godless and who do not fear the Lord. Listen to what Abraham Kuyper said. There is not one square inch in the whole domain of human existence over which Christ, who is sovereign over all, does not cry, mine. There is not one square inch in the whole domain of our human existence. Think about that. Not one square inch anywhere in human existence over which Christ, who is sovereign over all, does not cry, mine. And the scripture bears this out. Everything is his. The earth, he says, mine. The sky, mine. Gravity, mine. Air, mine. Viruses, germs, whatever they are, mine. Men and governments, he says, mine. The economy, mine. And his sovereignty, everything is his. In providential ruling, he says, mine. Mine, mine, mine. Everything is his, under his rulership, under his control. He says, my sheep. When he says, my sheep, it means something. Because the one who is sovereign over all, who claims lordship of everything, says about his sheep, my sheep. Then he says, my sheep, listen. My sheep, listen to my voice. This is so important. It's another test. And it's not like, I hope they listen. He's saying, listen. My sheep, listen to my voice. My sheep, listen because they actually know me. And they love me. And they care. This is so important for us because Jesus separates those who would, the sheep from the goats. He separates those who have some appearance, a likeness of being sheep, but they prove they're not, for they don't listen. In John chapter 10, verse 4, Jesus said, I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. It's an intensely personal relationship, and you could call it a back and forth, but it's a relationship is not one-sided. A relationship it's two-way. And he says, I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. And we know why we know him. It's because the Father claimed us before the foundation of the world, and Christ bought us through his blood. This relationship, the personal nature of it, I think is captured so well in Psalm 139. Psalm 139. I won't read it all, I don't think, but you'll get the idea, and you can read it yourself later, and you'll see. But the psalmist captures how personal this relationship with God is for those he has claimed as his own. O Lord, you have searched me, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in, behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold fast. Isn't this such a great message for the world we live in right now? People are full of anxiety. This is the greatest time, perhaps, in the history of our modern era in the world to preach Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the servant sovereign. Because people need to know there is a God who is there. His name is Yahweh, the God who is. You could ask the question, who is what? Who is where? He is the God who is there. The ever-present God who has made himself known through Jesus Christ, his Son. Emmanuel, God with us. And he is with us now for us who believe through the indwelling Holy Spirit. Verse 11, if I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me. Even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know them full well. Why does the psalmist know? And David wrote this. Why can he say, I know them full well? Because he knows the good shepherd. And you think, Old Testament, Jesus hadn't even come. Listen, David was looking forward to Christ. And he had such a relationship with God in Psalm 23, says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And so the good shepherd is all over the Old Testament for God's people who loved him so. They loved him because he knew them first. And that's what John writes, isn't it? Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. God loved us first. And we know this, the scripture tells us. We know that we have eternal life. We know that we have this personal relationship. It's a personal relationship with him. And how? And I think we can take it one step deeper. And that is to say, this knowing him is because the Father claimed us, the Son acquired us through his blood. But this knowing him is not just head knowledge, which we know. This knowing him ultimately is birthed from his eternal life, from the eternal life of God. And we know him because we have eternal life. I hope I made that make sense. We know him because he has revealed himself to us. The Spirit lives in us. But what does that mean? It means we have eternal life, the life of God in us through the indwelling Holy Spirit. We know him because we have eternal life. And John 17, verse 3 tells us as much. Jesus, when he prayed for us, here's what he prayed in John 17, 3. He says, now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. That this is eternal life. This is eternal life, that they may know you. If you know him, you have eternal life. And that should cause us to sit in our tents and speak of the great victories of Christ. He has given us, he has given his sheep eternal life, that we would know him. He has given us eternal. You cannot live in Christ separate from eternal life. When you were brought into his life, you were brought into his eternal life. That's good news, so that we might, in that life, that eternal life, the Zoe life, it's the abundant life, you would know him deeply and intensely and personally. It's a relationship that, yes, you can build. It's a relationship that you can nourish as you draw near to him and live according to the truth. Know the truth, and the truth will set you free. It'll set you free from small living. Know the truth, and the truth will set you free from being fearful of events going on in the world. It doesn't mean you won't be concerned or even rattled from time to time, but you will go and find your fullness at his feet. And do you realize when he says, Jesus was speaking, he said, my sheep listen to me, they listen to my voice, they actually do know me. There is a sense also in which we see him. Because remember, the people were wanting to know, they were wanting to see that Jesus was the Christ. And he says, you've already seen miracles, you've heard what I had to say, and yet they didn't believe. So we have to begin understanding then, the sheep of God, those that have been saved, will actually hear, which Jesus said, and will see through the eyes of faith. And the eyes of faith are nothing, it is spiritual eyes. Faith is having a spiritual vision. It's in a spiritual sense, we see Christ through faith. It's part of the equipment we've been given, part of the new creation that God has created in us when we receive new birth. Job chapter 42, verse 5 says it like this: "My ears have heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you." There is something that happens at new birth. It goes from the intellectual knowledge or the knowing to actually having the spiritual eyes, spiritual ears, to hear and to see Him, Christ Jesus. Do you know what your greatest quest in life ought to be? It should be the same quest that the apostles went on, that the early church went on, that Christians for hundreds and a couple thousand years, those that were truly devoted to Christ, have gone on a quest. And your quest should be like theirs, and that is to pursue Christ above everything else in your life. I like how I remember Mark Rogop saying at College Park that our lives should orbit around Christ, and He eclipses everything else in your life. And if that's not true for you, if you say He doesn't eclipse everything in my life doesn't orbit around Him as it should, then the call is to repent. And you may say, but I don't feel a sense of repentance. I don't have a great sorrow over it. Listen, go to the Lord, confess to Him, call it what He calls it, whether you feel it or not. Agree with God that you want me to pursue you with everything. The Bible says, seek first the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness, and everything else will be granted to you. Calling it what God calls it would be to say, I may feel like I'm doing okay, but I know I'm not pursuing you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so you come to Him confessing that and pleading for a heart that is open, that you will hear Him and you'll respond to Him. Jesus says, my sheep listen to my voice and they follow me. Why do they listen? It's simple. A sheep listens only when they are one of His sheep. If you don't listen, you're not one of His sheep. These sheep are His chosen sheep. And Jesus doesn't lose. The Father claimed His sheep. Christ acquired His sheep through His shed blood. And so, having made us His sheep through new birth, He equips us to do what sheep do. And Jesus says, my sheep listen to my voice. It's not theoretical. He is declaring something to be true. My sheep do this. It's like it's been said, you look at a dog and you wonder, why does a dog, after getting a bath, run out and wallow around in a mud hole? Why is that? Because dogs do what dogs do. You clean up a pig's going to go back to the pigsty. A sinner that's been busted for their sin, who gets caught but has not been converted, returns right back to their sin. Peter said a dog returns to its vomit. But sheep turn to their shepherd. Jesus says, my sheep listen, because this is what they were made to do. They listen. His sheep hear the good shepherd, because God, the sovereign creator, created His sheep to do this, created us this way. He created us with spiritual ears to hear spiritual truth. And we looked at that passage from Corinthians last week that spoke about these spiritual things have to be discerned spiritually. They have to be discerned spiritually. So when we think about how do we actually hear, we hear because the sovereign creator God created spiritual ears and the lives of those He gave a new birth, new creation. He creates new life, new birth. This means you're equipped to hear God, to read the Scripture, and to hear the voice of God. Proverbs 20, verse 12 tells us, ears that hear and eyes that see, the Lord made them both. And I think this is speaking about earthly ears, you could say, but I also believe the spiritual lesson is spiritual ears and spiritual eyes. It's the Lord who makes them both. And if you believe and listen to Jesus Christ, you hear and see because God made you to hear and see. You worship Him when you hear things like this, and you should think, how wonderful, how magnificent is God that He set His affections upon me, that I could worship Him and hear His voice as He speaks to me and see Him through the eyes of faith. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, I think distinguishes this new birth so well, and something for us to think about, and why we ought to be thankful forever. If you know Him today, be thankful to Him. 1 Corinthians 4, 7 says, "For who makes you different from anyone else?" And that's a philosophical question worth pondering, just on itself, on its face value. Who makes you different from anyone else? What do you have that you did not receive? Now, he's writing to Christians. So the answer would be, for who makes you different from anyone else? God does. What do you have that you didn't receive? Everything I have. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. God acted according to His goodwill and pleasure to make you His sheep. And everything that you have, you receive from Him. The spiritual ears to hear and listen. The heart willing to open itself up to be searched by the ever-present Spirit for you to be purified and to be sanctified. And know all these things. You have these desires because you've been made that way to have them. Each sheep hears the voice of God. I should say it. Let's say, make it more personal. Each sheep hears the voice of the Good Shepherd when the irresistible call of God comes to the ear. I don't believe that a person can resist the grace of God. I don't believe a person can resist God's intentional call on the life of a person to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. If the Father claimed them before the foundation of the world and Christ bought them, there must be an ear to hear at the proper time. And it's just as when Lazarus was dead 4 days in the tomb, he could not resist the call of Jesus to come forth. You could stand over a casket, you've heard this before, I'm sure. You could stand over a casket and yell at that person a million times, loud and scream, "Come forth!" And they'll never come forth. But when Jesus spoke intentionally to Lazarus to prove something of his, to give the sign that he had power even over death, he spoke, he made the call, and it was effective and effectual, and Lazarus came forth. I have to believe that when he called you from death to life and darkness to light, that it was an irresistible call. I realize that's up for debate, but that's where I stand on the matter. And thirdly, this morning, the relationship with the Good Shepherd must be active and vibrant. I'm not saying it, you better work it up. I'm saying this, it will become active and vibrant. If you know him, you will develop an active and vibrant relationship with him. You may have seasons of ups and downs, and sometimes you feel cold. Sometimes circumstances of life may knock the wind out of your sails. You may have doubts and fears, but I'm telling you something, the Good Shepherd never once lets you go. It's like we were talking a few weeks ago, where you have, maybe I didn't talk to you about this, but Jesus said to Simon Peter, he said, "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat." So he's asked to sift all you disciples as wheat, "but I've prayed for you, Simon, that your faith won't fail. And when you have returned," which tells me Simon had to go through a dark valley of a period of time, "and when you have returned, strengthen your brothers." That relationship will grow to become active and vibrant over time, but not all at once. over time. I loved seasoned saints who have walked with the Lord for a long time because they know that He is faithful. The last part of verse 27, I know my sheep and my sheep follow me. If there's true love in any relationship you have, you think about true, where there's true love, there's true admiration for that person. And where there's true admiration, there will be imitation. In people that we love, we oftentimes want, we admire them and we start to imitate them. And I believe it's ratcheted up many, many more levels when it comes to loving God through Jesus Christ according to the power of the Holy Spirit. If there's true love for Christ, then there will be admiration of Him. You admire someone only as you spend time beholding them. At Sovereign Christ, we say our reason for existing is to behold, admire the radiance of the glory of God in the person of Jesus Christ. To love, real, true love, has this element of admiration. And this admiration, when you admire someone, you begin to imitate them. I think this is seen so often in school, in elementary ages especially. Students, children, especially girls, would admire their teachers so. They loved them, they admired them, they begin imitating them. Sons will oftentimes admire their fathers and begin imitating them. Daughters will do this with their mothers. But how much more must this be true for those who claim to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you an admirer of Jesus Christ today? And I can tell, and you can tell if you are, because there will be an element of imitation. And Jesus says, my sheep follow me. They listen to me, and they follow me. They follow. Following is imitating. Following is going after Him. And I think a large part of it is imitation. You know, the old people almost mock this, but what would Jesus do? You're faced with a crisis moment and you can think, what would Jesus do? Well, one thing we know He would do, He would strengthen. He would be faithful. He would obey the will of the Father. And as His sheep, I think it's right and fitting that we would then follow in His steps and imitate Him in this. Which leads us to the final point. The marks of a true follower of Jesus Christ are evidenced through love. Jesus said, you follow me. My sheep will follow me. They listen. They know me because they are my, they believe me because they're my sheep. And as a result of this, they listen to me and they follow after me. A mark of a true follower of Christ is love. That should be one of the greatest marks of your life and something that you maybe wrestle with and struggle with. When you don't want to love, you're compelled by the love of Christ in you to love. This love is a self-sacrificial love. It's a God-birthed love. It's not, you're being called upon daily to love people with a love that's impossible to conjure up in yourself. It's a love that's dependent upon God at work in your life. To love another person, to love the unlovable, requires the love of God. When the Father claimed you and Christ acquired you, you came to Him out of your sin. You were, as Ecclesiastes described Israel, when I found you, you were like a baby lying in its mother's afterbirth. Not too many of us would find that very appealing, but He picked up them, Israel, and He cleaned them off. And when He found you and you were dead in trespasses and sins. He loved you enough to shed His blood for you, and He cleaned you through the shedding of blood, through the crimson flood, and He washed you and He made you clean. and he loved you when you were unlovable. We are challenged to love the unlovable daily. A true mark of a follower of Jesus Christ is one who will die to themselves to love the unlovable. This is something we should pray about. Another mark of the Christian is a cross-bearing life. It's very similar to the love self-sacrificial, because this cross-bearing life is self-sacrifice for Christ. What would Jesus have me do? He'd have me to be forgiving here. He'd have me to be merciful here. He'd have me to be wise here. He'd have me to be prudent. He'd have me to be faithful. He'd have me to die to myself. It's a cross-bearing life, a death to self, and a death to self-interest. And this death, I think, is a gradual death. But it's the mark of a true follower of Jesus Christ. Friends, I can't appeal to you enough today to seek after him with all of your heart, and you to monitor your own heart condition when you sense that you are cold in your faith, or you're not vibrant in your relationship with the Lord, and it terrifies you. The place to begin is at his feet. Say, Lord, I feel so distant. I'll never forget a night in my life. I don't even know how many years it was. 20 years ago, 30 years ago, I don't know, maybe 30 years ago, and I went through a period of about 2 years of just coldness in my heart. I felt like a piece of wax, just numb, pliable but numb, and no one had an idea. My wife even said to me, I had no clue you were suffering in this way, but I'll never forget a night of crying out to the Lord and just telling him my condition, and the peace that flooded over me was wonderful. The place to begin is with honesty, where you don't hold anything back. Pursue him with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind and strength. And if you're not willing to do it, if you know that you're not being invested in him 100%, tell him. Confess your sin to him. You will never live You will never truly live more than when you forsake your own desires in order to follow after him, in order to know him as he knows you. Today, if you don't know him, I know there's people on Facebook watching. I hope there's some that have never trusted Jesus Christ. I pray that today would be the day. If you hear his voice today, do not harden your heart as you have through your rebellious life thus far. Turn to him and take heart knowing that he is the good shepherd who saves his people from their sins. Won't you commit your life to him today? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you and praise you for this good word concerning the good shepherd who knows his sheep. We thank you, Lord, for calling us your sheep, for owning us and purchasing us through your blood shed. We pray for each of us that our hearts would be calmed and stilled as we trust in you as the days unfold concerning our times in which we live. Help us to love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we pray that there would be a movement of your Spirit across this land and across the world, where Jesus Christ would be adored and worshiped as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Bring many people to faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, if you would, we'll close out this morning. If you can, roll your windows down and so you can hear one another out in the parking lot. I just want to go on record that the day the Lord takes me, if we can have a funeral, whenever that, hopefully it's a long way off, but I want this to be at my closing of the service. God be with you till we meet again. We don't know what this week's going to hold, but I think this hymn is so wonderful of a blessing to be thinking of and speaking toward one another as we sing it. So let's sing it together. God be with you till we meet again. By his counsels guide, uphold you. With his sheep securely fold you. God be with you till we meet again. Till we meet, till we meet, till we meet at Jesus' feet. Till we meet, till we meet, God be with you till we meet again. God be with you till we meet again. Neath his wings protecting hide you. Daily manna still provide you. God be with you till we meet again. Till we meet, till we meet, till we meet at Jesus' feet. Till we meet, till we meet, God be with you till we meet again. God be with you till we meet again. And what a wonderful prayer. Pray for one another this coming week. And that you can honk your horns and tell each other bye and wave. And pray for the day we can rejoin together in worship here in the building. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. In Jesus' name.